roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. So begins one of the most recognized poems in the English language. And Robert Frost ends with these words, "I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." The congregation to which our scripture lesson for today is originally addressed find themselves in a similar situation. Not so much a yellow wood, but a spiritual desert. They're exhausted on their spiritual journey when they come to a place where two roads diverge. Like the traveler in Frost's poem, the one they choose will make all the difference. The way this letter to the Hebrews tells us, the fork in the road in this passage at least has signs directing them what's down each road. They can choose the path that is marked to Mount Sinai, or they can choose the one that is marked to Mount Zion. And which one will they choose? This author of this letter has been preaching a sermon of encouragement for 11 and a half chapters now. And the whole time he's been working to get his readers to choose to go to Mount Zion. But now he's afraid that when the two roads diverge in a wood, they will choose the well-traveled road, Mount Sinai, which is downhill most of the way, has plenty of fast food restaurants. It looks a great deal more comfortable than the rocky and narrow high road, the less traveled road, that climbs up to Mount Zion. Sinai is the safe choice, or at least it seems to be. It is certainly the well-traveled and familiar road. So fearing that the people will make the wrong choice, the author gives a bit of a sales pitch. You don't want to go back to Mount Sinai. Mount Sinai is the place with burning fire, darkness, shadow, a whirlwind, a blast of a trumpet, and a sound of words that made the ones who heard it beg that there wouldn't be one more word. The sight was so frightening that Moses said, "I'm terrified and shaking." Now, Mount Zion, on the other hand, let me tell you what you've got to look forward to if you choose Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, with countless angels in a festival gathering, the assembly of God's firstborn children who are registered in heaven to the God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous who have been made perfect. Mount Zion is the place where you get to be with Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, whose sprinkled blood speaks better than Abel's blood. So who wouldn't want to go to Zion? Well, okay, to make it more appealing to today's travelers, how about this? Tired of sitting in Atlanta traffic? Has the oppressive heat of summer in the South gotten to be too much? Imagine something better. Forget the cell phone. Forget the traffic. Forget the emails and the bills and the doctor's appointments. Imagine a cool breeze under a warm sun surrounded by crystal blue water. Or if you're not a beach person, imagine instead sitting in a rocking chair on a porch in the mountains listening to the birds singing their morning songs. In this reading from Hebrews, Mount Sinai is sitting stuck in endless traffic, and Mount Zion is the beach vacation. Now, Mount Sinai throughout the Old Testament is actually seen as a good place, though. It's the place where God gives Moses the law. But the preacher in this letter uses Mount Sinai as a bad place, a symbol of everything that goes awry in religion when it is severed from the ministry of Christ. So what's so bad about Sinai? Well, it's a place of fear. Tom Long describes it like this. Human beings come to Sinai as perpetually unclean sinners, and therefore the holiness of God at Sinai is a holy terror. To touch Sinai is fatal, and any animal that ventures out onto this holy ground is destroyed. Sinai is filled with sights and sounds that inject horror into the heart. Even though a fire blazes there, it is still a place of gloom and darkness. Streaks of jagged lightning split the sky, thunder rumbles, and a trumpet blows so loudly it scares the wits out of people. but the trumpet and the storm are mild compared to the stark terror of God's voice. That's why the preacher doesn't want the congregation, when the roads diverge in the woods, to choose the well-traveled path marked to Mount Sinai. So then what's so great about Mount Zion? Is it a tropical paradise or your quiet mountain getaway? If the people choose the less traveled path marked to Mount Zion, what will they find? Well, Mount Zion is symbolic of the ideals in government and worship, prosperity and peace. Mount Zion is not a place of fear. No one needs to be afraid that God's word and presence will bring death, because this is the city of the living God. This is the place of Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you choose Mount Zion, you'll be greeted by thousands of angels in the assembly of those who have gone before you. They'll be frolicking and laughing. But that's not all. When you choose Mount Zion, you'll discover that the judge is the Redeemer. There is only one verdict, and that is not guilty. At Sinai, the laws are tough and the judgments are harsh. But at Zion, you've got Jesus, the great high priest, who's already done the time on our behalf. I've got to warn you, though, there is blood on Mount Zion. But unlike Mount Sinai, which is soaked in the blood of violence, tragedy, revenge, and sin, Mount Zion is sprinkled clean with the blood of Jesus, which is offered once and for all. So now you can see the choice is obvious. Here's the thing, though, which is tricky but really important. The God of Mount Sinai is the same God of Mount Zion. There is no God of the Old Testament versus God of the New Testament. It is one God. Hebrews is quite clear that the God of Sinai is very much the God of Zion. Most of us would like to forget about God's judgment, just stick with God's mercy. But Professor Frederick Borsch cautions against that, saying, that would not be the God of Scripture. Nor, when we stop to think, would we be pleased if in the end we discovered that God did not really care about unrighteousness, injustice, cruelty, and evil. That God did not care whether we tried to build at least some aspects of the kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Ultimately, God's justice and judgment must be included in God's love. Therefore, wrongs still to be judged by the God of love and mercy, and the imagery of the earthquake and consuming fire return. There is fire and shaking at Zion and at Sinai, but at Zion, under the new covenant, the fire and the shaking is transformed. The old covenant shaking meant destruction. The new covenant shaking is good. It's like an antique dealer shaking the dust off of a statue to reveal its beauty. So let me say again, contrary to much of the rhetoric used by popular Christianity these days, the God who does the shaking is the same God in either case. There's not one mean, judgmental God shrouded in smoke on Sinai and then another one on Zion, running around like an eccentric old man, fidgeting with his watch fob and handing out candy to children. The God of Sinai and the God of Zion are one and the same. Holy and awful, that is, full of awe, a purifying fire of perfect judgment. And really, this passage does not describe two different gods or even two different mountains. It is one God and there is one mountain. One way to understand this is to think of it as one mountain, but with two different paths to travel to the top of the mountain. There are two different ways to approach the dwelling of the Holy One. So then the question is not so much which mountain you will choose to go to. The real question is, with whom will you choose to travel? Two roads diverged at a mountain, and I took the one traveled by Christ, and that has made all the difference. The scripture says, see to it that you don't resist the one who is speaking. If we listen to that voice, when we listen to that voice, then we follow Christ into the heavenly tabernacle. When we choose to take the path marked to Mount Sinai, then we choose to travel alone. And if you go to the mountain alone, then you must rely on your own strength. And when you get there, you will not escape judgment. When we choose to take the path to Sinai, we choose the path of fear. But when we travel with Christ and with the community of his followers, then we follow the one who is the way, the one who has already prepared a place for us. When we travel the path of Zion with Christ, then we choose the path of hope. The preacher in Hebrews tells us another thing about choosing the path to Zion. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken, let's continue to express our gratitude. With this gratitude, let's serve in a way that is pleasing to God with respect and awe, because our God really is a consuming fire. In Christ, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. The only appropriate response to this gift is to continue to express our gratitude, to serve in a way that is pleasing to God. God has graciously given Christ's death as a means of reconciling humanity with God. And to abandon faith after that amazing gift is an insult to God, the giver of the gift. So we respond with gratitude. We offer sacrificial worship with respect and awe, and we serve in ways that are pleasing to God. In Eugene Peterson's interpretation of these last verses, we read, "Do you see what we've got? An unshakable kingdom. And do you see how thankful we must be? Not only thankful, but brimming with worship, deeply reverent before God." The preacher in Hebrews tells his congregation to listen and listen carefully. He reminds them, even with all the signs and wonders of old, that God's people have a tendency to be thick-headed and miss the message. And he doesn't want anyone to miss the message. And the message for them and for us is the good news of the new covenant in Christ. We do not have to travel the path of judgment alone, on our own strength, leading to Sinai. We do not have to travel the path of fear. In Christ, we are given the gift of another way, a path of hope. We're invited to follow Christ on the path that leads to the city of the living God, where Jesus has established a new covenant. We have already received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, so let's continue to express our gratitude. With this gratitude, let's serve in a way that is pleasing to the one God with respect and awe. The path marked to Mount Sinai is the familiar, well-traveled way, and it is the way of fear. The path marked to Mount Zion is the way of Christ. It is the way of gratitude and hope and life. Two roads diverge at a mountain. Take the one traveled by Christ. Take the way less traveled, the way of Christ, of gratitude, hope, and life. And that will make all the difference. Amen.